This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Spotlight on cops. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, April 22nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
In addition to a state civil rights investigation, the Minneapolis Police Department now faces a federal probe after the George Floyd killing.
Arizona's governor has declared a state of emergency at the southern border and will deploy National Guard troops to help with a migrant surge.
India has reported the world's biggest one-day jump in new coronavirus infections. Meanwhile, Pfizer says it's found counterfeit vaccines in Mexico and Poland.
And the Biden administration gets a pass in hiring former lobbyists.
So I spoke to some watchdog groups who were, you know, months ago so adamant about the president not letting lobbyists work in the administration. And they have told me that they're giving these two a pass, a union lobbyist and it's a nonprofit lobbyist. So the fact that these aren't corporate lobbyists, these aren't Wall Street people, means that it's actually okay.
Alex Gangitano at The Hill on why there's little resistance to bringing former lobbyists into the administration. The spotlight will continue to shine on the Minneapolis Police Department even after former cop Derek Chauvin was convicted on all counts in the murder of George Floyd. The Justice Department announced yesterday that it will investigate whether police there engage in patterns of unconstitutional policing. Attorney General Merrick Garland says the civil probe will examine whether Minneapolis officers use excessive force, including during protests, engage in discriminatory conduct, or mistreat those with behavioral health problems.
It will assess the effectiveness of the MPD's current systems of accountability and whether other mechanisms are needed to ensure constitutional and lawful policing.
The Trump administration sharply curtailed the use of such investigations. While Trump officials believed it was unfair to mandate local overhauls, Mr. Garland said such investigations are critical for police accountability. More details have emerged after the fatal shooting of a black teenager in Ohio by a Columbus police officer. Officials identify the officer who fired the shots as Nicholas Reardon, who's been with the department since 2019. He was placed on leave. 16-year-old Makia Bryant was killed Tuesday after police responded to a 911 caller who reported a girl trying to stab somebody. Less than 6 hours later, Columbus police released body camera footage in which the teen apparently has a knife and was swinging it at another girl on the hood of a car in a driveway. During a news conference yesterday, Columbus Public Safety Director Ned Pettis urged patience.
I understand the outrage and emotion around this incident. A teenage girl is dead.
The state's Bureau of Criminal Investigation will pass its findings in the case to a prosecutor for consideration before a grand jury. Coronavirus alarms are sounding in the world's second most populous country. India, earlier today, reported a global record of more than 314,000 new infections. Hospitals there are reporting acute shortages of beds and medicine and running on dangerously low levels of oxygen. Meanwhile, the U.S. has administered 200 million COVID vaccine doses. Elsewhere, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds is urging residents to get vaccinated as more than 40% of the state's counties are seeing a decrease in demand for doses.
If you're opting to wait and see, what are you waiting for? If you've been a hard no from the start, what's your reason? And if you can't answer those questions, maybe we hope that you take the time to reconsider.
Separately, federal health regulators say a contract manufacturing plant that's supposed to help make Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine failed to take proper steps to prevent contamination. Also, counterfeit vaccines are being sold as criminals exploit high demand. Pfizer said it identified fake versions in Mexico and Poland. Coming up next, an overwhelmed IRS faces more work it's not equipped to handle. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. If President Biden is to implement his ambitious economic agenda, he will have to rely on a beleaguered arm of the government, and that's the Internal Revenue Service. Among other things, the IRS is currently sending out stimulus checks, redoing the child tax credit payments, and retroactively changing the taxation of unemployment benefits received last year. More challenges await, including figuring out how to collect on unreported revenue. It's a story by Richard Rubin, tax policy reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Rich, what are we looking at?
I mean, the IRS has been shrunken and strained, as we said, for about a decade now. They've been their budget has either been flat or declining. They've lost more than 10,000 people in key positions. It's overall employment at the IRS is 15% down from what it was 10 years ago. And some of that is going to be stuff that'll happen as you have automation, right? You don't need people to sit there opening envelopes. But a lot of that decline has been in enforcement and the people who do audits and collections. And that means the IRS is just not as present in getting uncollected tax dollars as they used to be.
Is there a chance that it can catch up anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, look, they've gotten a bunch of money from the rescue efforts in the past year or so. Some of that is to help with their modernization. Some of that is just to implement the additional work that Congress has given them to send out those checks that we've all been getting and to administer a bunch of new tax programs that have been created by Congress over the past year. But I think as we look forward, you've seen this in the administration's corporate tax plan. You'll see it as they come out with other pieces of their tax agenda. They're really looking to beef up enforcement. So you might, you'll see them talk about adding more money to the IRS, hiring more people.
Yeah.
But the key thing is it's not a short term project. It took 10 years to get where the IRS is, and it's going to take several years to, even with pretty sustained political support, to get out of it.
Is the number now $1 trillion, Rich, that goes uncollected each year?
So that's a number that the IRS commissioner threw out last week. I think it's always tricky to think about and trying to measure money that doesn't go collected, right?
Yeah, yeah.
See things that you're intentionally can't see. So I think the official IRS estimates are lower. There were 381 billion for tax years 11 through 13. Everyone expects those numbers are larger now because we've had inflation and these budget cuts and 7 or 8 years later. But we don't actually know how big that those numbers are. It's clear that they're substantial, and it's clear that there's pretty good consensus that every dollar you put into IRS enforcement right now would yield more than a dollar back in revenue.
Okay.
At some point, there may be diminishing returns, but we're not at all near that point.
We're speaking with Rich Rubin, Wall Street Journal tax policy writer. His piece is called Biden's Big Agenda Relies on a Shrunken, Strained Agency, the IRS. So what could the IRS still be taxed with as it tries to catch up with current projects?
Right. So, I mean, just think about all the work they're doing. They're running the regular tax filing season, which, to you and me feels like, oh, we just send in our return and the refund comes back and it's fine. But it's a huge effort that goes into that. Congress made that even more complicated this year by retroactively changing how unemployment benefits are taxed. And they now have to implement this new child tax credit payment system where there'll be payments as frequently as monthly starting as soon as July. And that's just a whole new process. And so for the IRS to do. And so that's going to be a challenge for them to figure out how to do that. And they'll work their way through it as they do. But that obviously every ounce of energy they spend on that is going to take away from the other things they're trying to do.
Thanks, Rich. Richard Rubin, tax policy reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Bolstered with new momentum, Congress is ready to try again to change the nation's policing laws, heeding President Biden's admonition that the guilty verdict in George Floyd's death is not enough for a nation confronting a legacy of police violence. Lawmakers of both parties say legislation that was once stalled on Capitol Hill is now closer than ever to consensus. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We strive to ensure that George Floyd's tragic death will not be in vain. We will not rest until the Senate passes strong legislation to end the systemic bias in law enforcement.
The revived effort is led by black lawmakers, including Republican Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina.
Number two.
Police in Columbus, Ohio have released more body camera video showing an officer's point of view as he pulled his weapon, opened fire, and killed a 16-year-old girl while responding to a 911 call. The body-worn camera of police officer Nick Reardon recorded how he arrived at a reported disturbance Tuesday afternoon. Columbus Interim Police Chief Michael Woods.
The important step now is for BCI to conduct an independent and transparent investigation. The Columbus Division of Police will assist them, but we will not interfere in any investigative process that they have.
Number three.
President Biden is urging employers to provide their workers with paid time off to receive a COVID vaccine and any time it takes to recover from the shot. As part of the effort, Biden announced a new tax credit for small and medium-sized businesses with fewer than 500 employees in order to offset the cost of giving individuals time off to receive the vaccine.
We let up now and stop being vigilant. This virus will erase the progress we've already achieved. The sacrifices we made, the lives that have been put on hold, the loved ones who've been taken from us, the time we're never going to get back.
The vaccine is now available to everyone over 16. The Indianapolis 500 is set to be the largest sporting event in the world since the start of the pandemic, with 135,000 spectators permitted to attend next month. Indianapolis Motor Speedway says it worked with the Marion County Public Health Department to determine that 40% of venue capacity can attend the May 30th race on Memorial Day weekend.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, the new YOLO economy.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal. Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Something strange is happening to the exhausted type A millennial workers of America. After a year spent hunched over their MacBooks, enduring back-to-back Zoom calls, yet flush with savings, some workers are quitting their stable jobs in search of post-pandemic adventure. It's a story by Kevin Roos, technology columnist at the New York Times. Kevin, what have you noticed?
So we're at a really strange moment in the economy right now. We're seeing a lot of people who are obviously still struggling. They've lost jobs. They're sort of grieving over the pandemic. But there's this other group of people that I started hearing about a few months ago who were sort of in stable, cushy jobs and who were quitting them to go pursue passion projects or, you know, go back to school or start a business. They were taking more risks. And the sort of justification they gave was that their priorities had shifted during the pandemic. They had realized, you know, basically, you only live once. And so I started calling this the YOLO economy. Mm. And I started hearing from more and more people who were making these kind of abrupt career changes and kind of risking it all after a year of, you know, grief and anxiety.
Give an example. Who did something that really raised your eyebrows?
So I talked to one guy who's a young, he's in his late 20s, and he works at a major clothing retailer. And he recently decided, you know, his company was saying they had to go back to the office before June 1st. And he said, you know what? Then June 1st is my last day. I'm going to quit before then because I'm never going back to an office. So he made this Excel spreadsheet with all these options. He might take a coding class or move to the Caribbean or join a political campaign. And his basic thought was, you know, I'm not going back to what my life was like before the pandemic.
Wow.
And he sort of thought of this as a time to kind of reset his life.
Jeez. All right, so if folks who do this, they have the savings to, say, pay the bills in the meantime while something's developing? How does that work?
Yeah, so a lot of them have savings. They've saved money over the past year. And these are, you know, mostly people who are working in sort of higher paid industries. Maybe they have a nest egg. The stock market's been doing really well. So, you know, absolutely, these are people with the privilege of kind of looking at their lives and saying, what would I like to do? What would make me more fulfilled? But we're actually seeing this kind of attitude in more places than just the kind of upper class. Job openings are at an all-time high right now in a lot of industries. Many restaurants and trucking companies are having trouble filling open positions because people are sort of being choosier. They're able to do so because they have stimulus checks or enhanced unemployment benefits, and so they don't have to take the first thing that comes along.
Wow. We're speaking with Kevin Roos, New York Times tech columnist. His column is called The Shift. This one is called Welcome to the YOLO Economy. Employers, you said too, are kind of fearful of this exodus. What are they doing or saying?
Yeah, absolutely. They are super worried about turnover. They're seeing, this wave of people quitting on the horizon. And so they're trying really hard to keep people happy. Some firms are giving people bonuses or extra days off. One Wall Street bank I wrote about just gave its employees all expenses paid vacations. So employers are really starting to worry not just about burnout, but about people actually quitting.
Kevin Roos, technology columnist at the New York Times. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to remind you about paintyourlife.com. If you're looking for a truly meaningful gift, they did one for me that my wife loves. A professional hand-painted portrait of our kids, one of our favorite photos, that Paint Your Life turned into a real work of art. I chose a world-class artist and worked with them to make sure everything was just right. It takes 5 minutes to order, and in about 3 weeks, you'll have a gift she'll cherish forever. I love their stuff. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's fully refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off. That's right, 20% off your painting and free shipping. Just text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL. To 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text the word DEAL again to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text DEAL to 64,000.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon DEAL.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday, April 22. Gordon DEAL, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Feds launch a probe into Minneapolis police practices. Pfizer discovers fake vaccines outside the U.S. India hits a daily record for COVID infections. First, Texas sent National Guard troops to help with the migrant surge at the southern border. Now it's Arizona, which has also taken the additional step of declaring a state of emergency. Stocks finished higher. More NFL players can now wear single-digit uniform numbers. And the man who bowled a perfect game with his father's ashes in the ball. That story in about 20 minutes. Watchdog groups that warned the White House against hiring former lobbyists who could pose conflicts of interest are giving a pass to two recent hires who lobbied for a union and a major nonprofit advocacy group. Why? Here to explain is Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. Alex, what's going on?
Yeah, so President Biden, back when he was literally first inaugurated, signed an executive order that restricted former registered lobbyists from working in the administration, and basically said that we don't really welcome registered lobbyists to work here, and there has to be this waiver system if a registered lobbyist does get recruited to work at the administration. So far we've seen two former lobbyists, one who worked for a union, the American Federation of Government Employees, and one who worked for Amnesty International, a nonprofit. So I spoke to some watchdog groups who were, you know, months ago so adamant about the president not letting lobbyists work in the administration. And they have told me that they're giving these two a pass. You know, there's a union lobbyist and it's a nonprofit lobbyist. And so the fact that these aren't corporate lobbyists, these aren't Wall Street people, means that it's actually okay. And these are people that might actually bring something positive to the administration.
So the union one doesn't raise eyebrows among some critics?
Right. People seem okay with that one. She is fairly new. She literally just started at OPM, which is the Office of Personnel Management. And I actually talked to one watchdog group, Issue One, who works hard to kind of take big money out of politics and close the revolving door. And they actually told me that her background at a union makes her a really good fit to work for OPM, which kind of oversees, you know, personnel in the administration. And her legislative advocacy background will make her a good fit for this job. So they're embracing the union hire as well.
Is President Biden's policy in this case stricter than ones that have been in place before?
Yep, it is. So when he came in and issued this executive order, there was a lot of praise from progressives because it's stricter than what the Obama White House had. And that's actually because of these two kind of weird nuanced things that lobbyists take advantage of that he now has placed restrictions on. One of them are he's restricting so-called golden parachutes. So basically that means that if you come to the White House and you used to work for a major company, you can't then start doing work that major company gives you some sort of cash payment or benefit that allow, you know, that you can benefit from after you go to the administration. And people were taking advantage of this, you know, kind of in the terms of you allow some big government contract to go through and then you get some sort of reward. And then there's another thing called shadow lobbying that Biden pledged to restrict and Obama didn't. And shadow lobbying is basically, say you're a former member of Congress, you go to a big lobbying or law firm and say, oh, I'm not actually a registered lobbyist. I'm just the CEO or a special advisor or something, which happens all the time. They then make a couple phone calls here and there and connect some people. And it's not actual lobbying. You don't have to be registered to do that. But it's kind of a loophole that you get to do some work on the side that's under the table, if you will.
Yeah, that's a definition of swamp, I think, in some people's eyes. We're speaking with Alex Gancitano, reporter at The Hill. Her piece is called White House Meets Little Resistance in Hiring Former Lobbyists. So who are these new folks who've come on?
Yeah, so we have Faye Perdue. She's the former lobbyist for the union, the American Federation of Government Employees, and Charnanya Krishnaswamy, who lobbied for Amnesty International. And she's super interesting because this was in February she got hired, and she's a senior counsel at the Department of Homeland Security and, again, had to receive a waiver to be able to work there. And so her work, again, for Amnesty International kind of relates to work at the Department of Homeland Security. She could have perhaps had to work with Homeland in her previous lobbying job. Yeah. So she needed a waiver in order to do so.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, this week likely started like any other week for Mark Johnson, a news anchor for TV station KTVB in Boise, Idaho. Perhaps he played some golf or took a long e-bike ride with his wife. Now, we know Johnson likes these things because they're part of his station website bio, which the station tweeted out Tuesday night and unwittingly turned Johnson into a viral sensation. The name Mark Johnson was trending on Twitter yesterday after the station's Twitter account tweeted a link to Johnson's bio along with a simple two-word caption, Mark Johnson. That was followed at 2 o'clock yesterday morning by Johnson tweeting simply Mark Johnson from his own Twitter account. Things took off from there, with both tweets racking up thousands and thousands of likes and comments and related memes. One Twitter user wrote, "Mark Johnson, America has spoken and you are Mark Johnson. Congratulations. I don't know how many years of practice you had as Mark Johnson, but you knocked it out of the park. Good luck in the next round of Mark Johnson." KTVB even devoted an entire segment to the phenomenon on their 4 o'clock p.m. newscast yesterday, with Johnson saying he still doesn't understand what happened, but he's happy to go along with the joke.
I don't understand it either.
That is just, you know, sometimes those Twitter viral situations, you have no idea how they happen. They just happen. You just have to go along for the ride.
And I've never heard anybody explain it.
Right.
Like, what makes this guy with two common names, a common first name, a common last name, from a TV station in Idaho?
All it takes is just a couple of people, you know, retweeting and then, you know, maybe a couple of funny memes and then a couple of people retweet that, and then it just turns into a huge snowball.
I would think that if Elon Musk had retweeted it, I could see things taking off.
Yeah.
But I don't get the indication that had happened here, which is why you can't understand these things.
This is a grassroots campaign, it seems like. Just thousands of people with a couple of followers each making this thing
bizarre.
Popular.
Just bizarre.
And move over, Buddy. There's a new bovine on the lam, also proving to be difficult to catch. Now that Buddy the Beefalo is on his way to spending his remaining days sunning himself in Florida, police in Kentucky say that a buffalo escaped from its owner's property Tuesday and managed to elude capture. Lexington police say they contacted the local animal care and control, but were told the animal was too large for the department to handle. At last check, the unnamed buffalo was still on the loose.
Yeah.
Now, of course, as we know, this is a good thing for this buffalo. Well, one, he has to get a name. If someone gives him a name, and now that he is on the loose, there is a good chance that he's going to live out his days, maybe on the same farm that Buddy the Beefalo is going to, maybe more unfortunate end.
And concerns about a bacon shortage will emerge.
Right.
After your story yesterday about cooking twisted bacon.
Yeah.
Maybe this buffalo got word of that,
you
know, and is in cahoots with his brethren thinking, I'm taking a stand for everybody who's concerned about meat.
Everybody, you know, everybody get together.
Wow. There's something going on here. They were communicating somehow. Buddy communicated with this buffalo in Kentucky somehow.
Yeah. Everybody keep an eye on your buffalo. Yeah. There's a coordinated escape situation going on.
I love the excuse. He's just too big for us.
I mean, look.
We can't do anything here.
Who are you going to call when your buffalo escapes? Not animal control.
In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
The news, first, fast, and free of noise. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. American teenagers are spending their money on chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A, athletic gear from Nike, and cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. The investment firm Piper Sandler released a semi-annual research project detailing the spending and usage habits of 7,000 teens with an average age of 16 years old. Chick-fil-A dominated their food rankings. 18% said their favorite restaurant was Chick-fil-A. Coming in at number two was Starbucks, then Chipotle. Legacy food brands like Dunkin' and McDonald's were further down the list. When it comes to clothing, Nike was the overwhelming favorite among American teens. 27% said it was their top clothing brand. No other brand reached even 10%. When it comes to online shopping, Amazon was the top website for 56% of respondents, while the next brand, Shine, was a distant second. One interesting aspect of the survey is how active teenagers are in cryptocurrency. 9% claim to have traded cryptocurrency, and 81% of those identify as male. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Justice Department will investigate whether the Minneapolis Police Department engages in patterns of unconstitutional policing. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The investigation I am announcing today will assess whether the Minneapolis Police Department engages in a pattern or practice of using excessive force, including during protests.
The announcement came a day after a state jury convicted former officer Derek Chauvin in the killing of George Floyd.
Number two.
The Senate has confirmed Vanita Gupta as Associate Attorney General, installing a longtime civil rights lawyer as the Justice Department's number three official. Gupta was confirmed in a 51-49 vote, overcoming Republicans' objections about her views on policing and past criticism of conservatives. Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was the lone Republican to support Gupta's confirmation.
Number three.
For fully vaccinated people, the risk of still getting COVID-19 remains extremely low. Among 417 employees at Rockefeller University who were fully vaccinated, two of them were later infected. This comes as Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds encouraged residents to get a shot.
If you're opting to wait and see, what are you waiting for? If you've been a hard no from the start, what's your reason? And if you can't answer those questions, maybe we hope that you take the time to reconsider.
Lawmakers and mobile app companies took aim at Apple and Google in a hearing yesterday focused on competition concerns about the company's power over smartphone systems. The hearing marked an escalation of lawmakers' antitrust scrutiny of smartphone makers. The hearing pitted executives from Apple and Google against familiar critics, including music streaming service Spotify, online dating service Match Group, and tracking device maker Tile Incorporated. The House will vote today on a bill to admit Washington, D.C. as the 51st state, although the measure will likely fail in the Senate. The bill's advocates note that the district has a population of more than 700,000 people, larger than the population of Wyoming or Vermont. But while those two states each have two senators and a representative in the House, D.C. has no voting representation in Congress. Not only is Zoom fatigue a real thing, it appears to affect women more. Researchers at Stanford say 14% of the women in their 10,000-person study reported feeling either very or extremely fatigued after video meetings, compared with 5.5% of men. The study's authors began looking into Zoom fatigue after experiencing it themselves.
Understood. Thanks, Jen. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Ask Dell. A man from Illinois paid tribute to his deceased father by bowling a perfect 300 game using a ball that contained some of his dad's ashes. It wasn't totally luck. 39-year-old John Hinkle, a two-time NCAA bowling champ for Western Illinois University, said his father, John Hinkle Sr., introduced him to the sport when he was young. Mr. Hinkle said his two-handed bowling technique means he is only allowed two finger holes in his ball, so he had the thumb hole on his ball filled with some of his father's ashes after the older Mr. Hinkle died in 2016. UPI says he rolled the perfect game at Landmark Lanes in Peoria 2 weeks ago. He told WMBD Television they had tears in his eyes in the 11th and 12th frames. He said he could feel his dad's presence. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.